All right. Welcome to the Fortuna Church of the Nazarene. We're going to start this morning off with some music and a verse. And this morning we're reading in Luke chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." All right. Oh, we're going.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Now God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves.
Sing to
baby shower. I think there's a flyer in here. Oh, look at that. So cool. Okay. All right. So the virtual baby shower for the church nursery and preschool is going on right now. The Amazon gift list, you search under Fortuna Naz Nursery, and this on the flyer. But Pastor wanted to let us know that we have had people at the Eureka Church are chipping in and sending fun stuff. And she's getting from all of us too and everybody else. She's getting packages that are showing up and they're gonna go over there. We are planning on, our goal is to have everything done by Easter. And the registry is still going on through March, so definitely feel free to jump on in there and just send whatever. And it'll just miraculously show up at the door. I just love how that works. It's amazing. But anyway, so yes, it's exciting. It's so exciting, and it's so fun to know that even the people in Eureka are sponsoring our little children's stuff. So this is good. All right, so New Life Christian, you know, the little school that we all support here and we love, they are having a pancake breakfast March 22nd, and it's good stuff, so you should come. They are also having, even before March 22nd, they are having a New Life Christian open house. That's on Tuesday, March 18th. So come, see what in the world is going on when they're here, and they'll be here, and just come and support them if you want. They'd love to see you. The My Cup Runneth Over study begins today, and this is the book. If you do not have a book and you need one, please raise your hand. Can I have a volunteer to pass these things out? Oh, look, Jan's on it. She's on it. Oh, Terry, too. Look at that. They are quite the team. So raise your hand, and somebody will get you a book, okay? Men's breakfast. This is like one of the most exciting things for me all month long. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Not for me, right? Okay, what was I thinking? The men's breakfast will be next Saturday, the 15th. And they come, they eat, they hang out together. It's a wonderful time, and I can get things done in the meantime. All right. Easter schedule. We've got an Easter schedule in the bulletins. And we've got breakfast. That'll be exciting. Miss Susan's putting that on, aren't you, darling? Yeah. And she needs help? Okay, yes. So we can use some help on that level, too. So call Susan or text her or email her. She answers to all of those things. So just let her know that you want help, and she'll put you on. Baby bottles. I know we keep forgetting our baby bottles. So if you got them, fill them, bring them in. If you don't have them, we still have some. You're welcome to take it and fill it and bring it back soon, because we need to get those back to them. And then there's the 40 days of life. Do we have anything? You know, we don't have anything in here on it. Where's Eileen? Is she here today? Nope. Okay, we would normally have Eileen, and she could have stood up and told us about that. But isn't that praying and fasting? Okay, so we can get more stuff on that later on. But if you have questions about that, Eileen would be your person, Eileen Amos. And then we've got, flyers here. We've got family camp coming up, and we've got kids camp coming up. We do have pamphlets. Okay. Family camp. Black and white, not so colorful. But this one's coming up first, and if you want to go, you need to get this done soon, because the cabins are going quickly. So if you want a cabin, get this thing filled out, get it back, get it done. And then we've got the NAS Kids Camp. That's for ages entering into second through fifth grades. It'll be going on July 28th through August 1st. And it looks like a lot of fun. And the camp directors are, oh my gosh, imagine this, Nicole Johnson. Who knew? So I'm guessing if you have any questions, you can talk to our lovely pastor. She has the answers. And you can also volunteer, I'm sure. But here's the pamphlet. Read it, fill it out, get ready to go, okay? Was there anything else? Oh, we had a wonderful time at Spring Fling yesterday. Those of you that did not make it, I'm sorry. It was fun. And we had a lot of craft vendors. We still have some of you guys are members of our church, like Terry. Terry does gnomes. It's the most amazing thing. It was so cool. But anyway, we had lots of people, and they showed up, and they had lots of great crafts, and we got to do that. We also did a great fundraiser, Deanna and I and Susan and Brenda, and yeah, we did this fundraiser for the children's ministry, and we brought in money. Guess how much we brought in? Anybody? Come on, give me a number. Well, we tried. But we got 400, so that was so cool. It was so cool. Deanna and Adam went crazy, and they got all the stuff together. They baked. Oh, and Susan helped too, right, with the quiches and fun stuff. She had it all planned out. It was amazing. All I had to do was stand there, look beautiful, take orders, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was great. We had a good time, and it was quite a good experience. So whenever you see these bulletins and they say we've got something going on, you should come because it's a fun time, okay? All right, and so I think that's all I have. Okay, goodbye. Do you want me to turn it off?
Thanks, Sherry. Ken also wanted me to make sure that I thanked Leon for helping with the TVs because he helped with all the cords and whatnot. Yeah. And Ian, who came in, Ken opened the box and I stood there with this TV in front of me and I said, there's no way I'm picking this thing up with you. So we called him and he came over really fast. And Nadine's husband, Stephen, also helped us put both of these tees up. So he just wanted me to make sure I also thank them for helping with the TVs. So. Thank you, yes.
All right, as we wrap up offering, we're going to stand and sing This Is Our God.
From that grave, Yahweh, Yahweh, who gives
Well, today we're going to be talking about the call to discipleship. I think that's a good step where we've been going as we've been talking about the character of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the character of God and the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to talk about following them. We know what they're like. We know who they are now. And now we're going to be talking about discipleship. So as discipleship, we know, I'm going to try really hard to work with this mic today. I'm sorry. Ken was saying it was moving around a lot last week. We have to give ourselves up to follow Jesus. And so what does that look like when a person gives themselves completely to God, no matter what? There's a story of a man named Maximilian Kolbe, and he was ordained as a Franciscan friar. Do I have a picture of him, Matt? There he is. He was given the chance to earn enhanced rights and privileges in exchange for signing a document recognizing his German ancestry. But he refused. This was during when the Nazis invaded his country. He also could have a much easier time in his occupation during that season of his life that he had given up publishing religious texts. But he also declined to do this. In fact, his books and essays became increasingly critical of the Nazis. And that's why in February 1941, his monastery was shut down and he was arrested by Gestapo. Within a couple days, he was being transferred into the infamous Auschwitz death camp as prisoner number 16670. Now in the camp, Maximilian saw in his duty to carry on his priestly manner, even though this got him regular beatings. Then in July 1941 came his ultimate test of faith. 10 prisoners had succeeded in escaping. And in order to deter other outbreaks, the Nazi guards picked 10 prisoners, and they were to starve them to death underground a bunker. But one of the men chosen cried out that he had a wife and children. And so the priest, Maximilian, offered to take his place among the condemned. So along with 9 others, he was thrown into the bunker and left to die a slow and agonizing death. Maximilian led the condemned men in prayer. In all, he lasted 2 weeks and was the last prisoner to die. The guards ultimately had to give him a lethal injection, which according to witnesses, he accepted with good grace and serenity. The man whose place in the bunker he took lived to be 93 years old and shared his story often. Now we hear stories like this about what it looks like when a person devotes themselves to Christ, even when he's losing everything and their life. Jesus predicted that we would suffer and die. Then he told his disciples that he would be ready to suffer and die, and they would need to follow him. Jesus flipped the script, and he changed their narrative of what a Messiah had come to do. So instead of telling them that they were about to ride into battle and come out physically and politically triumphant, setting up this earthly kingdom, he told them the opposite. Let me wash your feet. I'm going to die. I'm going to serve you. Come follow me. Take up your cross. Today we're going to be in Luke 9:18-26. And we're going to be reading what Jesus said to his disciples in this moment. If you could please stand with me as we learn from God's word together. Peter is going to declare that Jesus is the Messiah here in this moment. And then Jesus will predict his death. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." But who "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone and said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your scripture. Help us to see how we can follow you and be the disciples you have called us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in verses 18 through 19, we see that Jesus asks a very simple question. And he asks the disciples an impersonal question first. "Who do the crowds say I am?" There's lots of rumors and opinions going on, and Jesus knows this, so he asks them a simple question. "Who do all these people say I am?" And they start coming with these answers. "John the Baptist. Elijah, a prophet, come back to life." And then Jesus says, okay. So then he asks a second question, but this time more personally. He's focusing right on his disciples. Then he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" And of course, Peter, "God's Messiah." In Luke 9:20, then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, this is the English Standard Version, I just love this, "The Christ of God." This is the Lord's anointed one. And so we're referring to the Old Testament here, God's anointed, when they say the Christ of God. Israel's kings were often considered the Lord's anointed. So here, the word Messiah that we're reading is the Son of David. An anointed leader expected to bring on the age of peace, liberty from all oppression. And they're setting this Messiah up. This is what they have in their head. But Peter is confirming that Jesus is the Messiah the prophets foretold. Even with all that, he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. And so Jesus asked them not to share this, because the Messiah was supposed to come in and be triumphant. Suffering was not in the narrative, and he knew his disciples were not ready to understand this fully yet, or those that they were speaking to. People had put this idea in their head. The Messiah would conquer. He would rise up, be ready for battle with power and authority. And so the disciples needed to better understand God's plan. They needed to see Jesus first as a servant before they could share what he had come to do. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Their understanding of this will help them to live out the life of a disciple, because they were going to have to follow Christ in those steps. They were then going to have to be ready to suffer as Christ suffered. The call to suffer and to serve, not just to rule. Luke 9:22, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day and be raised to death." Raised to life. Woo! Slow down. But that would be heavy for his disciples to hear that. They've been following this rabbi, and they see him as a coming king. You're going to save us from Rome. We're ready to fight with you. Let's do this. In verse 23 to 26, Jesus speaks to them about how to be a disciple. Now, we know that disciple means following their teacher, doing everything that he does. Deny yourself. What? I thought I was going to be standing up with you on your right and left side, standing with you to battle. No, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Because we are called to be cross bearers. Cross bearing is an ancient image. It's an image that centered on rejection of criminals that bore their crosses on their way to death. What? How could my Messiah expect me to do that? I did not sin like that. Yeah, we did. We're sinners. But Christ is coming back to do something bigger that those disciples don't quite understand yet. We must be prepared to face rejection and death for our Savior. Save your life, and you will lose it. Lose your life for me, and you will save it. Luke 9:25, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their own self? Is it really that important for us to have all the things and be the best if we lose ourselves in the process? Jesus desired us to have a life that was totally committed to him, even to the point of suffering and death. And he concludes this scripture with, those ashamed of his words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them. Don't put the words of man and the words of the world above mine. Because the Son of Man will be ashamed of those when he comes in the glory of the Father and holy angels. So why is this so important? Why is this so important for us to understand what Jesus is saying is to his disciples right now? Because hindsight 2020, we see what he's doing. We get it, really. We understand what he's trying to tell his disciples. So why is it important for us? Well, first we have to understand that God's economy is different than ours. God's economy is different than the whole world's out there, what you're hearing on the news and what's going on down the street. Because Jesus asks his disciples, what good is it to gain the whole world? We hear on the news, we hear commercials, buy this, it'll help you do this, quick fix. You want to be here, invest in this. Go out, buy the biggest product, have the biggest house, do all the things. He said, all you need is me. Forfeit yourself. All the money in the world can't stop death from coming. But trusting in Christ can prepare us for eternal life and prepare those who are around us to see the light. Sometimes we don't really see what really matters until we've actually lost it all. Have you been there? Yes. Amen. Living in faith means we keep moving forward, seeking God above all else, even when it means losing things of self along the way, and even when it doesn't make worldly sense. I will share with you what I had to lose not that long ago. Social media all of a sudden became this thing that I did every day. And it was almost just a habit. Every time I picked up my phone, I would just pop Instagram up. I don't even know why. It was just like, boom. And then I'd sit there and just flip through all these reels. And you know, you're like, oh, I got to send this to this person. And next thing I know, I look up at the clock, and I've been sitting there for an hour. What happened to my time? Yeah, okay, right? And so we're sitting there doing this, and then Facebook, oh, don't even get me started with that thing. That thing makes me so mad. By the time I got there, I'd be angry. I don't like what they're posting. Don't tell me how to believe, right? Oh my goodness, the presidential election. I just want to throw the thing out the window. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going through all these things and my body's changing, my body language, the way I think and the way I feel is changing. And all of a sudden one day I just said, God, what am I doing? This is creating my identity. I'm just sitting here flipping through this thing and it's literally changing how I feel and how I look at things. What am I doing? Delete. I deleted Instagram off my phone, deleted Facebook. Forget this. I haven't been on there for months because I don't even want anything to do with it. I don't want to see it. If something is going to change my identity and how I feel and who I am, I don't want it. That's the world putting things in my head I don't need. Amen? Amen. The next thing is that we have to look at the scripture is this, the choice. Are we going to save our life or are we going to lose it? Luke 9:24 says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. If we are desperately grasping onto our own lives, power, money, things of this world that we don't want to lose, I don't want to get off Instagram. It's so much fun. There's funny things. But we lose us in the process, don't we?
Amen.
Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
Whew. What we have on here, on this earth, it's all meant to be used for God's kingdom.
Amen.
And if we can't find that we're not using for God's kingdom, what are we doing? We don't have time to be lukewarm, church.
Amen.
Revelation 3, 15 through 17, I know your deeds and that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquainted wealth and do not need things. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Whoa. That's pretty clear. This stuff isn't worth anything here. It's not worth being lukewarm, trying to fit in with the world. So we need to deny ourselves, and we need to take up our cross daily. Jesus was calling his disciples into a deeper commitment with him. Warning that this commitment to the world could mean death, but committing to him could also mean serving and suffering and dying for Christ. They've already given up so much to follow Jesus, you guys. They've left their family. They've left their house. They've left fishing, their jobs. That's how they supported their family. They've left all that. And Jesus said there's a lot more that needs to happen. A lot more in your hearts. For you to be ready to then be my disciple and carry my cross. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's always easy. God is asking a lot. There's so much good that comes from that.
Amen.
Following Jesus often feels fairly safe here in America. Yeah? We feel pretty safe. We can pray when we want to. We can do all those things. But in other countries, it's not so safe. It's very dangerous. Story of those who lost their lives by choosing to follow Christ. Missionaries who were Christians and the government didn't want them to share. We have even missionaries in the Nazarene Church that we're not allowed to know where they are because it's that unsafe. Did you know that? Missionaries from Church of the Nazarene. We're not allowed to know where they are because that would put them in danger. But God is sending them. And so they're saying, I will be a cross bearer. I know that my life will be in danger, but this is where God is calling me, and people need to know Jesus. So I'm going to say yes. They experience violence, and they experience violence done to others. How heartbreaking. But the message of Christ needs to be sent, so they go. And we're not always called into cozy, comfortable, even where we are today. Jesus didn't sugarcoat this message to his disciples, and he doesn't sugarcoat it for us today. And so we shouldn't either. We're called to be cross bearers. Understanding the importance of denying self and carrying our cross each day is so important. Jesus felt it important enough to share with his disciples that the world is not worth it. It's not worth your own life. What would families and communities look like and the world look like if every believer lived out this incredible calling that God is calling us to us today? What would that look like if we were all giving our life for someone else, picking up our cross and following Jesus? It's not a one-time act of courage. You don't come to the altar and say, Jesus, come into my life. You do it every day. You have to make that choice every single day. Just like when you're in a relationship with someone. With my husband, I have to wake up and say, I'm gonna love you today. No matter how mad you make me in this moment, I'm gonna choose to love you. We have to do that with Jesus too. We have to say, I choose to love you and I choose to take up my cross every day. I'm going to make this commitment daily. And when the time comes that Jesus calls us into the unknown, even if it costs our life, we say yes. Because we've been doing it every day. Amen. We've prepared ourselves to say yes. We've already been doing that. We've already been the cross bearer. And we accept Jesus into our hearts, we become his disciples, we become a witness to those around the world, and we begin to walk this walk that looks different. And the Holy Spirit continues to change us and work through us. And that cross just starts to come naturally. We don't even think about it. We wake up, we say our prayer, and we say, yep, let's do this. It just becomes natural. Every day we allow his authority and power to lead us in the direction he has called us, and it's this daily action to follow Christ. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to leave you with this. This last thing here. As disciples of Christ, we become cross bearers, taking up our cross daily to follow him. Will you say that with me today? Because I want this to be ingrained in us that we do this every day, even if we have to say it to ourselves every day. As disciples of Christ, we become cross bearers, taking up our cross daily to follow him. Amen?
Amen.
God is so good.
All the time.
All the time. Dear God, thank you so much for this word. This word that you spoke to your disciples, and I know it seems like 2020 to us because we see what Jesus was trying to do, but we need to fully accept it and understand it. We just can't read it and say, oh, they need to know what they're doing. No, we have to do this every day. Sometimes we forget, get a little lazy. We need to be cross bearers every single day we wake up, ready to follow God. Ready to be a disciple. That's what a true disciple does. He says, I'm here for you, Jesus. I humbly come before you. I'm ready to follow you, whatever that looks like. I'm ready to suffer and die for you. Because my life is not here. It's in heaven with you. I know that's already done. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us, during this season of Lent, that we just come before you every morning and we just set up and ready to follow you and be those cross bearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as we finish in closing.
Before we sing Ever Be, I tried to find the music for this song, and I couldn't find it. But I'm going to read it for you. And if you know it, might just sing it one quick little time. It's called Light the Fire Again. I don't know if anybody knows this. I know a couple of you do. It says, don't let our love grow cold. I'm calling out to light the fire again. Don't let our vision die. I'm calling out to light the fire again. He goes, you know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out, light the fire again. here to buy gold refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind, I come. Clothe me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. So I thought when I saw that it was perfect. So don't let our vision die. Light our fire again. And that is how we need to approach Lent season. And that is how we, you know, bring people to the Word. So we're going to finish our last song with Ever Be.
Covenant of
on our lips. So good. Always. That's your challenge this week. When you wake up in the morning and you say, yes, God, I'm your cross bearer, I'm ready. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe that means opening your word and just reading a scripture. Or maybe that means just putting on a worship song and just praising God like crazy before you start your day. Or maybe it's just saying a prayer. Whatever that is for you, that's your challenge this week. To say, God, I am ready to be your cross bearer. And this is how I'm going to show it. To say yes today. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to show you as disciples who we can be and just saying yes when we wake up in the morning. We just want it to come natural, God, every day. And so, God, give us the strength to do that because that's what we're going to need. We're going to need strength in this Lenten season to wake up and say yes. We need strength to carry that cross, but you're our shepherd and you're going to lead us so we know we can do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go out and be the servant that God has called us to do. Let's follow Jesus. Go share with somebody that Jesus loves them.